619 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
With Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Atlantis Paradise Island, Y Cares Fashion Center, The Alley Go App, Love's Coming Back, and Wendy's.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We got several things going on today. We got Dr. Gregory Pinto is coming in the second hour to talk to us about male reproductive health issues. In particular, the connection between obesity and impotence. All right. Obesity, sleep apnea, impotence, all right? Some of you guys don't, you find yourself, you're not quite ready for action when you want to be, right? Could have something to do with you being obese and possibly sleep apnea. So we're going to talk about that in the second hour. Now, before we get into all that, let me just say, I'm going to say a couple of things, but first let me deal with the vaccine. So people have been asking me, what is going on with the vaccines? Now, the issue is that the government is confusing people. Right? So you're saying that there's no need to panic about the vaccines. However, you are conducting yourself as if there is a need to ration vaccines. You have canceled the walk-up vaccination. You are making it more difficult for people to book appointments for vaccination. And you have limited vaccination to one site on New Providence and one site on Grand Bahama. And now we understand the vaccination is supposed to possibly pause as of tomorrow. I say possibly. All right. We understand that the Loyola Hall is supposed to be stopping after tomorrow until we get more vaccines. So you're saying that there's no need to panic. However, you're acting as if the thing is running out. Now, here's why I'm going to tell you that you should not panic, particularly if you've had your first dose. So what has happened is we got 92,200 doses of AstraZeneca, all right? 5,000 of those doses were borrowed from Antigua and Barbuda, and we are now in discussions with St. Vincent to borrow 20,000 doses from them here shortly. Also, we're going to get another 33,600 doses of AstraZeneca on July 26th. I don't know if they're carving out some of that to give back to Antigua and Barbuda and possibly St. Vincent. And then we're also expecting the United States to give us some AstraZeneca vaccine as well as some of the Pfizer vaccine. So if you have had your first vaccination, you should be able to, before they said 6 to 12 weeks you wait, you should be able to get the next dose. It shouldn't be a problem, but you're acting as if it's an issue. Now, here's where you confuse people even more. It is that you are now speaking to us in the language of vaccine vials, when this entire time you have been speaking in the language of vaccine doses. So nobody ever told me what the number of vials was. You told me what the number of doses was. Now we're being told not to worry. There's extra doses in the vials, okay? Now, you didn't say that at first. You said that you had X amount of doses, not X amount of vials. So how many vials do you have is my question. How many vials do you have? You're saying that a vial contains at least 10 vaccine doses, but most times there's enough for 11, sometimes 12 doses of the vaccine. So you're saying that there should be at least 10% more vaccine doses than the actual number of doses received. Okay, now that's not how you've been communicating this. You've been talking about doses, not vials. Okay, so please, don't act as if we're confusing anything. You're the one who's confusing us, all right? So explain to us just exactly how many doses you do have. Now, what we've also learned is that the extra people, remember I said they vaccinated 95,000 people and they only had 92,000 vaccines. You're saying the extra people are people who've been vaccinated in the United States. Okay, fair enough. However, you're not communicating that. You said that these are doses administered in the Bahamas. So what we have now is a communication problem. So I would seek to fix that if I were you. All right? Please communicate to us correctly, and that way it won't be no confusion. Now, I'm going to say something else, and this leads me to my other thing about where we are as a country. Now, I'm going to have to commend the officers of the Royal Bahamas Police Force for yesterday not shooting a cyclist, a guy on a moped, who for some reason thought it appropriate to argue with, push, whack across the head a uniformed police officer while resisting arrest. Now, something's gonna have to give now, okay? It can be, all the police beat us, all the police shoot us, and then you attack in the police, all right? It's not going to work like that. So the officer who was tussling with the young man, I was probably going to shoot him, right? I don't know if I could be a police officer, all right? So I was probably, I don't know why this officer wasn't armed, or if he was armed, why he was armed, the one with the hat on. So why he ain't pulled the tool out? Tussling, asking, kick him in his chest. Buddy, you can't tussle and I strap. Nah. Anyway, well, that changed the whole vibe up. I must say, he displayed even greater restraint than I thought. He was about to it. He changed his mind. Buddy, he was going to PMH if he make it that far. I don't mean to say that lightly. But ain't no little boy on no moped can grab me up and slap. Not if I have a gun. What? Anyway. But the other officer, the plainclothes officer, came and helped him subdue the guy. And good on them for showing restraint. It wasn't going to be me. I was going to shoot you. All right? Now, we see that the commissioner of police today commended and gave a monetary reward to the plainclothes officer for rendering the assistance, and the officer who was in uniform got a commendation from the commissioner of police. Me, I was gonna shoot you, and I'm not no violent type dude, but it ain't gonna go like that. So when y'all complain about these police shooting people, just understand what some of these police is be going through. This is violence one. Violence. Yes. Look, I don't choose violence, right? But if you bring the violence to me, you got to make a decision now. If I'm an officer of the law and you decide to attack me, it's going to go a certain way. All right. Now, me one, I don't want no trouble. All right. I don't want no trouble. You want to fight me, I can leave. All right. You call me a sissy. That's fine. I can leave. I don't want to fight you. If I have to, I will. All right. But if I'm a cop and something's going down and you can't subdue yourself and comply, it will be a problem. All right? Says, Juan, why are you so violent today, man? I'm not trying to be. I'm just saying. Says, hey, Juan, that's why our police officers need mace and a taser. Yeah, taser. I was good. I was good. I wasn't gonna tase you. I might as well brief you. You that type of action you coming with, it doesn't seem a little mild to me. But that's just me. So listen, I'm saying this to say, right, because it's Independence Week, and I wanted to talk to you about a few different things regarding independence. I'm saying this to say we have to figure out what kind of country we want. Okay, we have to figure out what kind of country we want and start working toward it. Do we want a country where young men feel emboldened to fight with police officers? I do not. Because if he would do that with a police officer, he'd do it with anybody. All right? We have to figure out what kind of country we want. So in order to do that, let's try to get an understanding of what this whole thing is about independence, all right? Independence, it says, I don't think you should advocate police shooting an unarmed individual, even if that individual is acting a fool. Well, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. I would have shot him, all right? So straight up. Now, you had to kill him, but I would have shot him, all right? That wouldn't work for me. We have to figure out what kind of country we would like to have, all right? Now, when we became independent, not everybody was on board, all right? Some people, all right, believe that we should remain a British colony. The British didn't want us, by the way, any longer. Some people wanted to secede from the Bahamas and stay with the Brits, all right? But the majority of people decided to forge a nation independent of our former colonial masters, all right? And that's what we did. We went, we negotiated with the British, we hammered out a constitution, we got the Bahamas Independence Order signed, all right? And we, on July 10th, 1973, lowered the Union Jack, hoisted our Bahamian flag. Why did we do that? The rationale behind independence was necessarily to be free of the British, all right? That was something that needed to happen for us to forge our independence, but it was so that we could determine for ourselves the nation that we wanted to build. All right? There's a book called The Joy Luck Club about Chinese women and their American daughters, women who immigrated from China to America and their daughters. What is a book about Chinese mothers and daughters have to do with the Bahamas run, you're asking me? Well, it's this. The theme of the book, The Joy Luck Club, which I would strongly recommend everybody read, it's poetry. It's Amy Tan has written it. You maybe have seen the movie. It's got one of the most memorable soundtracks I've ever heard, right? But the book is just so much. The movie's great, but the book is phenomenal, right? And that was her first novel. I've read about six of her novels. Yes, I like to read. I'm a geek, right? I know books are kryptonite for some of you. Listen, you keep texting me about it's irresponsible to say the person would be shot. We disagree. We disagree, okay? That's all. I take a certain view of these matters, and you take a different one. You do not have the right to tell me how I should feel about this matter. And I respect you highly. You know that. All right. The book is about American daughters of Chinese women who immigrated to America trying to understand their mothers. And in order to do that, they had to understand what their mothers went through before they had them and why they were a certain way. So the main theme of the book is to determine your future by better understanding your past. So I want to be guided by that principle. In order for us to better determine our future, we have to understand our past. We came out of a people, the vast majority of us, who were enslaved. And then we became a people who were still oppressed by a white minority. All right? For some people, that's uncomfortable for them to talk about, but that's what it is. All right? And the balance of power was held in the hands of a white minority. Women could not vote if you did not own land. You could not vote. And so our matters and issues were controlled by a very select few people. Then in 1967, well, in the 50s, we had the suffrage movement, and we started getting independent self-governance in the late 50s, and then women got the right to vote, and ordinary people got the right to vote as long as you were subjects in the colony. And in 67, we had majority rule, where there was finally balanced representation among those who would make our laws. And then we decided that we would seek to forge a country and use the Commonwealth of our Bahamas to make life more equitable, more fair, more rich. Richness in terms of not only money, but culture, education, stronger families, better health care, better life expectancy, better outcomes. All right? That's why we went toward independence. And here's the thing. Independence is not a destination. It doesn't just hit July 10th, 1973, and we go, well, it's all right. Independence is an ongoing journey. It'll never stop. We have to continue forging a better Bahamas. Okay? We got a phone call, and here's some of the things I think we can do to help forge a better Bahamas. We're going to talk about it. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm great.
Just following this topic because, you know, some things I am confused about as well. When we track time in the past, at one time they said we were taken over by the Spanish, and then there was a war, I think. They said there was a one-day war, something with the Americans up around Fort Montague.
Mm-hmm.
And then we eventually became taken over from the Americans by the British. And then we and our foreparents, I should say, well, I was one time a British subject because I was born before 1973. So what I'm trying to get at the time when we became independent, the property in the Bahamas was owned by who before independence? Mostly the elites, the whites, the British, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it the whole Bahamas was crown land?
Yes.
Okay. But then we had what we call the elite. They got grants and so forth from the crown, like Lyford Key, the Oaks, and all of them got massive portions of land, especially in the capital, New Providence, where the Simonettes and all of them, had all of the East Street South. The Bakers, Mitchell Baker and George Baker, and them got around Seabreeze. And then you got different families got like around San Susi, Vinton, and so forth. So when we started purchasing property when we were able to, we were actually purchasing property from those guys, right?
Uh-huh.
Which kept them filthy rich again. And then most of us were going through the banks, and then the banks would hit us with those mortgages. At the end of the day, if they got you sorted out for, say, 10, 15 years to pay back for your property and this house, you purchase and say you buy $50,000, you borrow $50,000. Over a period of 15 years, they could get some close to $250,000, $300,000 from you, enriching themselves. And in most cases, like now, when I try to tell my son about property now compared to when I bought property as a youngster around 27, 28 years old, for him to go and buy a piece of property now anywhere in New Providence, the capital, you're talking about, I think even in East Street, you're talking about $100,000 for the property. When you finish paying off for that property, it could be your children most likely building that house because you ain't going to be able to pay for that.
Sparky, that's you lost me with the thread. I'm sorry. We can't continue. I'm not to be rude to you, not to cut you off. It says, what if the aggressor was your color, Juan, or even Caucasian? Would you still shoot the suspect? Would you have those same sentiments if it was one of your kids flaring up with law enforcement? If my children, right, and hopefully the Lord will take me before I could ever witness such a thing, if any of my children ever act like that with a police officer, they will deserve whatever's coming to them. Now, as far as the color is concerned, it doesn't matter to me. I recall the case of Jordan Prophet, a young man about 6'6", 19 years old, got drunk, started calling the police downtown the N-word, fought off about five of them. And my whole thing was, and so were other senior officers asking, why did you not subdue this man with your firearm? All right? So he was white. I got... color don't enter into it for me. For you, this is, you dwell on it for some reason. I don't know why that's the first thing that came to your head. If you think that I'm as myopic as perhaps you are, that I go, he's black, so shoot him. I don't think along those lines because I'm not a warped, strange person, I guess. All right. What are some of the things we could do to have a better Commonwealth? All right. Oh, let me get through some of these texts. It says, Juan, you're trying to make nonsense make sense. The doses versus vials just seems like a reach. They need to just let private doctors bring in their own vaccine. Sounds like they are considering it as of late. It says, but Juan, police officers are getting scuffles all the time. They're not allowed to shoot people who fight with them. They're not, because they've done so many, many times. I don't know where you've been. It says, you probably said this already, but why don't they have tasers? They want to do everything like the U.S. down to the vehicles, except the non-lethal weapons and body cams. This says, great show as usual, Juan. Did you hear about people in India getting fake vaccines? So how would we know we are not or won't get a fake vaccine? Okay, I guess you're just going to have to go on faith. Good afternoon, Juan. I was vaccinated abroad and have called the Ministry of Health repeatedly to try to register my vaccination without success. Would appreciate if you could please give the contact information to register the vaccination. Thank you. What? Rev, are you concerned that genomic research data on which the new COVID-19 vaccine is based has only 2% representation of black people when Africa's population alone is nearly 17% of the world? I wasn't concerned previously. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Talking away along with you, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm ready to thank God for what it is. Let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
The conflict with the Spaniards and the Bahamas, do you have that history?
The conflict with the Spaniards and the Bahamas, we were discovered, quote-unquote, by the Spaniards, and then the Columbus killed all the Indians, and then over 100 years later, they decided to start setting up shop. The Spanish had issues because the pirates kept on sinking ships, galleons, coming from Hispaniola, coming from South America, and then they sent more soldiers here, and the British then also came and had a war.
What year was that?
All right, Raymond, oh man, come on. Could we stay focused on what we're talking about for once? Please. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
How you doing, Mr. McCartney?
I'm pretty good.
That's good, my brother. I want to talk about that policeman that has so much restraint.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening here is that, you know, charity begins at home, you know. If I disrespect mom and pop at home and I fight their back off or talk back to them, then I go to school and do it to the teacher. Okay, and I should be disciplined then. But then mom and papa goes to school to fight for me too, you see? And then the principal and the guidance counselor gets in it. So I see all of this. Okay, and these are respectful of leaders. The policeman is also one too. Okay, so if all those people were disrespected, then I get one step further, I can disrespect the police. But you know, that policeman, if it was me, like you say, if it was you, if it was me, and he hit me across my head, and I have even got a gun on me, the policeman didn't take a fear of his life, personal. But in all that man assaulted that policeman. And I'm sorry, audience, okay? Yes, I trust in God, and I believe in everything that is right. But I'm not going to talk back to my boss. I'm not going to stand up to my boss. I'm not going to disrespect my boss. And I see the policeman as the boss. Okay? See, our country is falling down. I would have shot that young man. Okay? And I do not apologize for that. Indiscipline has got our country in a wrong direction. Thanks for letting me share.
Appreciate you. All right. So this leads into, again, as I said, and you know, you didn't have to shoot him lethally, right? But if you're willing to do that to a police officer, imagine what you'd do to someone else. Here's the thing. We got to figure out what kind of country we want. Do we want a country where we are respectful of each other, where we are respectful of the rules, or do we want a country where people just get to do what they want and only some people follow the rules and others let slide? Here's some of the things we could do to have a better country. And I spoke about the young man to say this. What's missing in the country is a healthy dose of respect for each other. What's missing in the country is a sense of being cognizant of the fact that while we are individuals, we are also a part of a collective, and this will not move forward if everybody's pulling in their own selfish individual direction. I think what we could do as a country is to take more pride in our surroundings and the way we conduct ourselves. That would help. I love the Bahamas. And to me, when you love something, you don't just go into it blindly. You acknowledge the flaws about the thing that you love. And you're going to try to help the person you love, the thing you love, be better. Because it'll be better for you and better for them. So while I love my country, we have some serious challenges that we need to address. And we're not going to address it properly if we don't consider that we're all in this together. All right? Let's take a phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Sometimes, our police ain't trained to lay you on the ground. They can do one shot in the air, get on the ground, lay on your stomach so I can cuff you behind. If we ain't trained our police to take charge, get on the ground. You refuse? Remember now, if you launch towards me, you arm with this arm, I think you trying to take my gun. Point and simple, I will shoot you. Because police, you know, you're going to disarm him, and who you going to kill with his gun? So that would be to train our police to be tactical. Twist your arms to get you on the ground. Man, that police mistake, they don't play with you. They will hog tie you in a second. Get on the ground. Either kick you on the ground, you can lay on the ground, so you can be disarmed, right?
Right. Okay. Hello? He's gone? Okay. No problem. Now, this says, Juan, don't say it. The kids are out of school. You're going to have to explain to your kids why you're saying the police should shoot someone. Listen, explain to my kids why. I've had to explain to my 7-year-old son. This is the country we live in. I've had to explain to my 7-year-old son and my 5-year-old daughter. Try to explain, because it's all over the news, why 6 people were shot dead along a street about a mile from their home, where they play, that they travel along quite frequently. All right? Try that. That's the country that we live in, and we need to do better. We got to take a break. We'll be back on the other side.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Travel less, but vacation more by indulging yourself and your family with the ultimate staycation getaway at Atlantis. Sleep in, relax, play, go out. Say yes to a fantastic staycation in your very own paradise just over the bridge. For reservations, call 363-6483 or visit Atlantis Local on Facebook for details.
Allego is here to help local companies boost their bottom line. If you own a business, join Allego and let us help you get people in your stores. ShopAllego.com has 2,000 website visitors daily, and you can list your business for free. Allego is the local online coupon hub where shoppers find weekly deals and discounts. It's where your business should be. Visit ShopAllego.com, that's ShopAllego.com, to list your business for free today.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. We're talking about what could make us a better country. We're talking about the young man fighting police. Some people don't think I should not say the police should have shot him to subdue him, but that's my considered opinion, all right? It says, hey, Juan, a few years ago, a white tourist guy fought about six police officers on Wood Rogers Wharf, injured one of them, and damaged their uniforms. Not one shot was fired. I didn't hear you say if you were a police, you would have shot him, but now you take delight in saying you would have shot that unarmed young black man. Well, we all black. So, but you should better examine what you think you know. You are speaking of Jordan Prophet, okay? He got drunk at a restaurant downtown, and this guy was huge. He fought more than six police officers, and after that, the senior officer was asking why y'all didn't shoot him. How do I know that? Because when this happened, it was more than 6 years ago. You said a few years ago. When this happened, A, I didn't have a radio show. So that's the first thing. I was a senior reporter with the Nassau Guardian. The night that happened, I got a tip, and I went down to Central Police Station and talked to the officers who were in the altercation, two of whom had to go to the hospital. I wrote the story for the Nassau Guardian. So you should talk what you know. I wasn't in a position to say anything back then. I not only wrote the story, I covered the young man's arraignment, where he wept like a baby after spending two nights in what was then Her Majesty's prison at Fox Hill. Okay? So you should speak about what you know, because you don't know what you're talking about. All right? It says, you're right, but is preaching to the wrong choir, meaning the persons who need your principles and message the most is not listening to your show. They are right now under a tree drinking, smoking, and more likely plotting to rob you and I. This is our culture now. That's why, like you, I have my boat fueled and ready to get up out of here if need be. All right? Our culture is too, we're too accustomed to crime and unruly behavior, and we've normalized it to the point now that if we continue along this route, we're not going to have a country where the majority of us feel comfortable living. All right? Now, it says, did you ask for Prophet to be shot? I wasn't on air, so I mean, and I would have said, shoot him, yes, absolutely. That's before, if you fight armed men, you must know what you're getting yourself into. We gotta grow up now, right? We ain't little children no more. You're grown now, right? Like Jordan Prophet, he thought it was cool to call police the N-word and fight him. Spent a couple of nights in Fox Hill crying like a baby in court. Yeah, he was 19 years old. You got to grow up now. With adulthood comes responsibility and accountability for your actions. Consequences follow. That's life. All right? We treating these fellas like they little innocent boys. Right? Like the police doing them something. You grown, you know what you're doing. You know that's a police officer. You're not a little child. All right? So with your actions follows accountability in my world. All right? This one, I must say, I agree with you, even though there will be some consequence afterward. I was going to shoot him in the leg. Hey, Juan, if they had shot him, it was not going to be justified. He would have been shot dead many other places. I'm not saying he should have been shot dead, but one in Miami, the police make you lay on your stomach the easy way or the hard way to be cuffed. You launch towards them unarmed or armed. You will be shot. They are trained that you are trying to disarm them. And that's the whole point. If you trying to rope me up, I have a gun. The thought process is you trying to get the gun to shoot me. So the officer has to protect his life. All right. Greetings, Juan. Last year, no matter what folks died from, COVID-19 was blamed. We need the stats and research on who died after taking the vaccine. even if their head got sawed off, we need to know if they took the vaccine or not. Where's the data? Who is doing the research? It says, sir, don't worry about those stupid people who are trying to make this a race issue. I don't know, like, how some of y'all operate, like, mentally, like, that you see race, where it's like all the parties involved are of the same race, but yet now you want to play this game about substituting one race for the other. It's because you can't deal with what's in front of you, right? So you're trying to throw this straw man out. What if he was, what do you mean, what if? What if he was Martian, right? He's black, the officer's black, they're of the same complexion. One is a legal officer who is sworn to protect the law, preserve the peace. The other is a young man who clearly has no respect for that authority. They're both the same color. No level of mental gymnastics is going to alter that fact. No throw in Jordan Prophet or any other, like I say, straw man into it is going to change the situation. The situation is what it is. If you're thinking critically about it and making an assessment of it, race don't come into it for me when they're all the same race. It does. It just, on the face of it, it doesn't make any sense. All right? So you guys are going to have to square away some things in your own minds about how you think about these issues, because all I see are black men dying in this country and a few women thrown in. And all I see are black men being imprisoned for murder in this country. So this is an issue that isn't going to solve itself by playing games and substituting what if one person was white. We have an issue within our majority black population with violence among young men. Not all young men, but a very significant number of them. We have an issue in our majority black population with drug abuse, alcohol abuse, joblessness, crime among some young men. And no amount of trying to distract people with substituting people of other colors into this equation is going to solve it. We have to look at what the situation is and address it properly. It says, sadly, crime is now widespread in Eleuthera, so there's no more safe place, and the police in Governor's Harbor don't even have transportation. The other islands equally under threat. And here's what is true. Yes, among our majority black population is my son, who has a darker complexion than I do. All right? Because a lot of you like to play games with the color of your skin. Yes, my father had darker skin than I do. So did my mother. My brother is Arlington's color. All right? My older brother. We are all, the vast majority of us, black Bahamians who decided that we were going to become independent and build a country for the benefit of all Bahamians, all right? We got to be intentional about our problems now. The U.S. has its problems. They mirror ours somewhat, but we have specific problems in our population that you trying to use those rationalizations about American police officers and young black men in the United States just won't fix here. They just don't apply. Right? We got a break? All right, we got a break. We're going to talk about more of this stuff with independence and the kind of nation we want this week. On the other side, we're going to be talking about the independence. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Any knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
But he fooled with your girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side?
I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean, cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on your side, how many boys coming for me next?
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say? I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pin from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pin.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
If you think you can't afford to dress to impress or replace those utensils or maybe even upgrade your household appliances, then you don't know YCare's Fashion Center. With three locations to serve you, YCare's Fashion Center features the things you need or want, all at a price that you can afford. Open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m., YCare's Fashion Center also has the island's largest jean collection. Put the fun back in shopping and visit your favorite YCare's location today, where you can afford to look good.
Alago is here to help local companies boost their bottom line. If you own a business, join Alago and let us help you get people in your stores. ShopAlago.com has 2,000 website visitors daily, and you can list your business for free. Alago is the local online coupon hub where shoppers find weekly deals and discounts. It's where your business should be. Visit ShopAlago.com, that's ShopAlligo.com, to list your business for free today.
As a people, Bahamians are anxious about the future. Feeling down and out, unsure in these unprecedented times, we need to believe that love's coming back. Join us Tuesday, July 13th at 11 a.m. at lovescomingback.com for the virtual launch of Love's Coming Back, an inspiring new anthem from Grammy Award-winning founding member of the Eurythmics, songwriter, producer Dave Stewart, which will premiere globally at 12 noon. Presented by Bay Street Records, Bahamas National Trust, and BrylandAid.org.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are speaking now with Dr. Gregory Pinto. He is a urologist and he deals with men's reproductive health. And so if you have any questions regarding these things, please feel free to give us a call, 323-6232, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4316, and 325-4259, 325-4259. You can also send us a message at 422-4796, 422-4796. All right. So, Dr. Pinto, you had specifically wanted to start off with a focus on the connection between obesity, sleep apnea, and impotence.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me
And welcome back.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, so I really want to talk about a vicious cycle, and that's low testosterone. The medical term is hypogonadism. It affects a striking number of men in this community, and most men don't even know that testosterone exists. So essentially, let's start with what is testosterone. Testosterone is a male hormone that essentially makes men men. Unknown to many, women actually have a low level of testosterone as well, but that's a different topic in itself. But so testosterone, even from when you're in your fetal stage, in terms of sexual development, the formation of your genitals, testosterone is important. It's important as you enter puberty in terms of getting your secondary sexual characteristics, in terms of formation of sperm, growing hair on your face, etc. But really, it's very important in terms of your fat distribution. So it'll maintain your lean body mass and actually will limit your fat distribution, particularly when we talk about men getting their bare belly as they get older. In many cases, it's not really related to their diet, although many Bahamian men are notoriously bad at having a healthy diet. In many cases, as you get middle age, it's because your testosterone is just going to precipitously fall. So from the age of 30, definitely by the age of 40, your testosterone is going to start falling at least 1.6% per year. Some people start at a lower level than others. There are going to be a lot of medical conditions that actually can exacerbate the fall of testosterone, and some of them quite quickly. But you need it for testosterone, also for red blood cell formation. You need it for sperm production. You need it not only for the most... It's well known for, obviously, having a good sexual libido, maintaining and achieving erection, but even in terms of your drive in life, your cognitive ability, your mental acuity. If you have low testosterone, you can feel a shell of your former self. So there are men walking around almost like zombies. People cannot recognize them. It changes their personality. They're prone to depression. They have irritability. They can have heat intolerance, hot flashes. They don't have that drive to even do things they used to love to do. That they used to love to play dominoes, watching NFL or NBA on the TV. They don't even have that drive to do anything. Even worse yet, they're talking about their professional lives. Their careers are going to take a nosedive because they don't have that drive or that impetus to succeed anymore. There's even, you can even use the term brain fog. So that mental acuity that you had is no longer there. You're very forgetful. Your short-term memory starts to fail you. So it can affect you in every facet of your life, socially, professionally, in terms of your body habitus. All of a sudden, it's common for men to wonder, why in the last 9 months have I put on 40 pounds? I'm exercising religiously. I'm watching my diet. Everything I do is not helping, and no matter what I do, I can't lose that weight. They don't even know that in most cases, it's low testosterone. About 70% of men who are overweight or obese have low testosterone. So the obesity and the overweight status actually makes the low testosterone worse, which then makes the obesity and the increase in fat distribution even worse itself. So it's a vicious cycle. We talk about other conditions like obstructive sleep apnea, where from a layman's point of view, it's if you're a wife, a partner, your husband is snoring away, all of a sudden you hear some silence, you hear they're almost choking on their own breath, they stop breathing for a few seconds. That's characteristic of obstructive sleep apnea. So you're going to have disruptive sleep, you're not going to have your proper amount of REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep, which is extremely important in replenishing the testosterone that you use up throughout the day. The consequence of that is that not only are you having poor quality sleep, but the testosterone that you should have replenished is not getting replenished. So it's a two-pronged attack on your basically on your wellness, on your energy level. So you're going to be chronically fatigued because of the obstructive sleep apnea, which makes the low testosterone even lower, which makes the obstructive sleep apnea even worse. You're not getting good quality sleep, so you're going to basically walking around like almost like a zombie with the walking dead. So Bahamian men are walking around fatigued to the point, and it can be extreme where you stop at a stoplight and you're falling asleep. You're fighting sleep all the time.
you sit down to watch TV and on the couch and the TV is watching you, because in the blink of the eye, you can fall asleep. You just don't have that energy. Many men try to counter that by drinking coffee all day or drinking tea or anything they can get with caffeine, Red Bull. The consequence of that is they're in that age group where they're already going to have some amount of an obstructive prostate, benign prostate hyperplasia. They're already having some incomplete bladder emptying in many cases. They're having a weak urinary flow, which the consequence is they already have some increased urgency and frequency of urination. But obviously, if you have a caffeine in, as a mainstay of your diet every day just to function, you're going to have increased urinary urgency and frequency from the caffeine, which is a diuretic, creating a bigger load of urine produced by your kidneys. So you're trying to stay awake, you're having caffeine all day, it's further disrupting your life because you're waking up all through the night because the caffeine is in your system. You're having nocturia, increased frequency of urination. So even when you're having this terrible sleep because of the obstructive sleep apnea, those few hours of sleep are disrupted because you have to wake up and urinate. Again, exacerbating the situation. So in the last 2 years, there's been groundbreaking research, long-term randomized controlled studies that have come out that have looked at patients with obesity, the impact of low testosterone, how it affects your fat distribution, how it affects your lean body mass, how it affects your insulin resistance, which can lead to you to have diabetes or make the diabetes that you have more difficult to control. And it's a terrible cascade of events, but they found the wonderful light at the end of the tunnel that I'll talk about, a long-term study that they had using German patients, over 1,000 patients that they put in a control group where one set would get a placebo, the other one would get testosterone, and they monitored their cholesterol levels, they monitored their body mass index, they monitored their waist circumference over a period of 15 years, and they found that the men who actually received their testosterone lost on average of 50 pounds. Wow. Those who were on the control group actually gained 6 pounds. So it's still early days, but there is convincing evidence that men who have low testosterone, who are symptomatic for low testosterone and who are obese, giving them testosterone supplementation, and there are many ways we can do that, can actually be life-saving in terms of preventing you from having the impact of obesity leading you to having cardiovascular events, heart attack, stroke, coronary artery disease, giving you a greater propensity for having diabetes or hypertension. So it can not only potentially give you longevity, but better quality of life while you're on this earth. So it's groundbreaking. So from the outside, I want to say that giving testosterone without guidance, without further thorough workup of every patient, so every patient is an individual, can be extremely dangerous. First of all, in our society, we have all the risk factors of getting a very aggressive form of prostate cancer. 1 in 6 baby men are going to get prostate cancer in their lifetime. First of all, because we're primarily of African ancestry, it's found conclusively that essentially prostate cancer is racist. You can think about it that way. It's a different disease entity than for Caucasians, Hispanics, and Asians.
Like sickle cell.
Yeah. So we're struck with the disease usually 6 to 7 years earlier than our other racial counterparts. It's a more aggressive form of the disease. If you have a Caucasian male in a African-American or Caribbean African ancestry male who have exactly the same stage of prostate cancer in every way, whether it's in terms of imaging, in terms of pathology, in terms of clinical exam, in terms of blood studies, across the board, the one who has African ancestry is just going to do worse because the disease is more aggressive. So what do you need for prostate cancer to, once it exists, to proliferate, to spread, to grow, to accelerate in progression? It's testosterone. And prostate cancer uses testosterone like a fuel, like a food, to grow and spread. So that's why too many times in this society, we're, as a urologist, I'm picking up men with prostate cancer at an advanced incurable stage where we're just offering palliation. The first stage of palliation is what we call androgen deprivation. We're going to lower the testosterone to as low as possible to starve the prostate cancer from proliferating, from progressing. The impact of that is that it will momentarily slow the progression of the prostate cancer, but the disease is very ingenious. It's going to bypass our blockade of starving them, and eventually maybe it's 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road. Some people only get 6 months. It's going to make that blockade immaterial. It's going to continue to proliferate, although we're lowering their testosterone. So if we're going to blindly give men who are even obese, and obese men are going to have a worse prognosis if they get prostate cancer. Anyone who has cancer, whether men or women who have any kind of cancer, if you're obese, your prognosis is not as good if you have a normal body habitus. If we were to give testosterone blindly to obese men with early prostate cancer that they are not known to have, it's just going to make the prostate cancer spread. If you have obstructive sleep apnea, if we just give you testosterone, it can make the obstructive sleep apnea worse. We need to determine not only why you have low testosterone, whether it's primary or secondary cause, and then we need to investigate even sinister rare causes like a pituitary tumor. It's almost unheard of, but we still need to be very diligent and very cautious in giving people testosterone. So just going to a physician and they're going to say, all right, you're feeling run down, putting on 40 pounds, my sexual drive is not there, my erections are failing me, then we can do blood tests to see that not only is your low testosterone, you have low testosterone and you have high cholesterol, blindly giving you testosterone can be very, very dangerous. So it has to be done in a controlled setting. It has to be done treating every individual differently. But for those select patients where you're obese, you have low testosterone, giving you testosterone can be life-changing, life-altering.
Now, you got to talk about the part that the men are interested in, which is the erection. So what's the connection between the low testosterone and erections?
So you need, you can think of erections needing four components. The first is testosterone, which is a male hormone to give you that sexual drive, the ability to achieve an erection, to get a good quality erection. The next is nerve supply. So you want to have a nerve supply to your male member. You want to have a blood supply to your male member. Next, you can't underestimate the psychological, emotional component as well. So you need to have all four of those components. So many times you have men who are going to take Cialis Viagra without being worked up fully. So you want to treat the root cause of erectile dysfunction. You just don't treat the symptom. You have poor libido, you can't maintain an erection, you just don't take a Viagra or Levitra or Cialis. We treat the root cause because eventually that root cause is going to cause worsening irreversible damage, whether it's to nerve supply, blood supply, testosterone, or all of the above. And even the Cialis, the Viagra, Levitra, the unregulated medication, which I keep stressing should not be taken because it can do untold harm, and they have never gone through any human trials and do not have FDA approval. So stop taking
rhinos. Don't call them.
Yeah. Stop going to the gas station and taking these drugs. They can do untold harm to you. So always treat the root cause. But if you have low testosterone, even the Viagra's or Cialis are not going to work very effectively because you still have one of those four components that's needs to be addressed as well.
Now, I take a physical every year, right? And they've never discussed with me my testosterone levels at the physical. Is it something that they just don't routinely do, or is it just something that's very specialized? Because they take blood and they tell me all the other numbers, but I don't ever hear about the testosterone.
So if you, for most urologists, that would be routine, particularly if you're 40 or older. You may not do it every year, but at least you want to get a baseline. So everybody's different. So there's a range in terms of testosterone. And also in terms of units, it's different values. But let's say for the most commonly used units, nanograms for deciliter, anything less than 300 is considered low. Several worldwide bodies will actually say anything less than 340. But just because you have low testosterone, you don't necessarily need to treat the low testosterone. You have to be symptomatic, so you have to have symptoms of low testosterone. But let's look at the other extreme. Let's say someone throughout their 20s and 30s has always had an upper limit of normal of testosterone, let's say 1,050. If you've had 1,050 all your young adulthood, and all of a sudden you're 55, and all of a sudden over the last year it's dropped from 1,050 to 400, that's a considerable jump, and you're going to almost certainly be symptomatic for that. Let's say someone was always about 410, 420, and now all of a sudden they're 400 or 390. They're not really going to be that symptomatic. So that's why it's always a good idea to not just look at the value in isolation, but ideally if we had when your testosterone should be close to normal and hasn't started to fall, at least we have a baseline so we can treat you as an individual and say that, all right, this is where we started. So many years later, this is where we're at. Even though you might be in the so-called lower limit of normal, you may have be very symptomatic because it was a very precipitous drop over a number of years.
So the testosterone is basically the component that keeps the male ticking. Correct. As a male, right?
Correct. So it's important for red blood cell formation in terms of maintaining your muscle mass, in terms of maintaining your bone density. Low testosterone can cause basically brittle bones, increased risk of fractures. It can affect you psychologically, as I said, emotionally. For being a man, the most importantly, yes, it's going to affect your erections. It's going to affect your libido. But even in terms of your own self-confidence and general health, if you're going to put on 40 pounds and lugging around 40 pounds, you're going to feel depressed. Already low testosterone is going to take away your motivation. It's going to put you at risk of depression, going to change your personality, put you at risk of irritability, almost cause you to have a brain fog at an extreme cases as well. So it can make you feel 30 years older all of a sudden. It can make you put on 40 pounds, 50 pounds, and I'm not exaggerating. I see it all the time.
And even if you are trying to lose weight and change your diet, exercise, and everything like that, if the testosterone's not there, then it's still not as effective.
You're fighting an uphill battle. You can only do so much. Even if you have one of these fad diets, which I discourage, and you may lose weight rapidly, but we're talking about sustained, healthy weight loss.
Right.
We're talking about losing the fat. Not necessarily the muscle or the lean mass. And testosterone is going to help you. So it's not just taking testosterone. You also have to do your part. There's no lazy way of losing 50 pounds. You still have to watch your diet. Mm-hmm. You still have to watch your cholesterol. You still need to make sure that you're well hydrated. You make sure that you get exercise 3 times a week. You have to do all those things as well. If you need to take medication in terms of make sure that if you have insulin resistance, your diabetes is well controlled, etc. Hypertension, your blood pressure is well controlled, but still just diet, exercise alone. In many cases, if you have low testosterone and you have obesity, it's going to be almost impossible for you to have a sustained life-altering weight loss that any man is going to want to achieve if they've lost
now
30, 40, 50 pounds.
What's obesity characterized as exactly?
So in terms of medical terms, I'm speaking in overweight and obesity interchangeably, but there is a difference. So you look at the body mass index. So we're looking at our weight, our mass in kilograms divided by or a height in meters squared. So we're looking, we talk about values, anything between 25 and 30 for body mass index is considered overweight. Anything above 30 and above is considered obese. And then talk about 35 and above, it's morbidly obese. So it's not just, in many of the studies looking at low testosterone in overweight and obese men, I've actually found it's more important in terms of not you're looking at strictly at your body mass index, which gives you a good idea of the severity of your situation, but it's actually your waist circumference. Mm-hmm. So most of these men who are putting on weight are not doing it uniformly. Most of that weight is going into their belly.
Right.
So you can think of it as all of a sudden you have that big bare belly. So although you might be very tall and you do have a bit of a bare belly and your body mass index is maybe a little bit above normal, you can still be considered, because of your waist circumference and the increase in waist circumference over a period of time with low testosterone or falling testosterone, that is actually a more important parameter at looking at the impact of testosterone on weight gain.
So talk to us about some of the treatments for testosterone. Like, how do you treat it? What are the different types of treatments? And how do people react to them?
So first of all, we need to determine, as I mentioned, just because you have low testosterone, you don't treat you. You need to be symptomatic. You also have to look at, first of all, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to rule out whether you have prostate cancer. If that means you have a strong family history, if you have some genetic predisposition that puts you at a high risk of prostate cancer, we'll go to the ends of the earth as urologists to make sure you don't have prostate cancer. We're not going to stop at blood tests. We're not going to stop at a urine RNA test. We're going to do imaging, whether it's a 3T MRI of your prostate. We'll do a PSA PET CT scan. We'll make sure that there's not even any early sign of even a small lesion indicative of possible prostate cancer. Because if you do have clinically insignificant prostate cancer, giving you testosterone can cause that to become clinically significant. Right. So as a physician, first thing you want to do is do no harm. Obviously, you want to give the benefits of testosterone supplementation. But if you have any sign of prostate cancer, so that in itself, I've found many men come into my office because they have issues with their erections. They put on weight. They're fatigued. They have low energy, low drive, might even be depressed. And we can, through a thorough screening, we pick up early prostate cancer. It doesn't necessarily mean we need to treat you. We can pick up prostate cancer so early when it's clinically insignificant that we can surveil you. There's actually a treatment modality for prostate cancer called active surveillance. And some men get 8, 10, 12 years before we have to cure you of your prostate cancer. But I'm not going to give you testosterone to cause that clinically insignificant prostate cancer to become clinically significant. Next thing you want to rule out is obstructive sleep apnea. Unfortunately, with obesity, you're going to have a greater propensity for having obstructive sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. If you have obstructive sleep apnea, it's going to cause you to have a lower testosterone. As your testosterone falls, it causes the obstructive sleep apnea to get even worse. Mm-hmm. So it's like almost like a tri-directional vicious cycle. One is causing the other to get worse and worse and worse. So you want to make sure that we do the sleep apnea tests, we do a thorough history, we make sure that if you do have obstructive sleep apnea, whether it's mild, moderate, or severe, we treat you accordingly. Not everybody needs a CPAP machine. We can refer you to a dentist if you have mild or moderate sleep apnea. They can basically create for that individual using a mold, almost like a dental bridge, which is very comfortable to wear. And that in itself, for mild or moderate severe, if some sleep obstructive sleep apnea, is sufficient treatment instead of using the more cumbersome CPAP machine. And then over the years, there have been great advances in CPAP machines. They're more aerodynamic, more comfortable CPAP machines. So there have been men 10 years ago who refused to use that big cumbersome machine. But technology has advanced so much that if you just make you aware that there are more aerodynamic, more comfortable masks that are a lot more likely to be used because they're a lot more comfortable. But if we give you testosterone without treating the obstructive sleep apnea, that in itself can make the obstructive sleep apnea worse, which in turn can make the vicious cycle even worse. So those are two of several things we're going to rule out before we can give you testosterone. There's several ways we can give you testosterone. First of all, we look at the age of the patient. Have they had their complement of children? Are they still interested in having children? In those cases, most forms of testosterone can somewhat reduce your male fertility, but in the vast majority of cases, it's reversible if we stop that replacement therapy. There are side effects of giving you testosterone. You can have increased breast tissue mass with discomfort. You can have incidents of acne. It can increase your red blood cell count. So when we give somebody testosterone, we're going to do blood tests to check their hemoglobin levels as well. But essentially, there's a gel, there's a patch, there are pellets that we can put intramuscularly to give you a slow release, or we can give you an intramuscular injection, which occurs every month. And we also need to, I mentioned, determine whether it's primary or secondary in terms of what treatment we give you. There's even a nasal spray. So the nasal spray, conclusively in most studies, has shown that it's really the only formulation, although it's not as pleasant or has the greatest ease of use, But a spray with a nasal spray of the testosterone actually will maintain your fertility level without dipping it even a little bit. Although the other forms, even if you take it, if you stop it, usually the small amount of infertility you get will be reversed. But for the vast majority of people who fall into these categories, although they're men in their 20s and 30s that have low testosterone or in 40s, it's usually towards middle age, and most people already have children or teenagers and don't want any more children. But if you have any issue that you possibly want to have further children, we can just give you the nasal spray. It's not as pleasant to use,
right,
but it will maintain your fertility.
Right, and it still keeps everything going. Okay, right. Now this person says, loosely related, but I've read that naturally high testosterone can lead to male baldness.
Correct. That is, you can actually have some male pattern baldness related to high testosterone, but when we're talking about testosterone, low testosterone causing obesity, that's a separate issue altogether.
Okay, this
and,
says...
And I also just want to remark that even if you've had prostate cancer, you've been treated successfully, you're in remission, you can get testosterone supplementation if you've been cancer-free in remission for 2 years or more.
Mm, okay. This says, for low motility and morphology, what can I take? First, explain what those things are, please, and then you could answer the person.
Okay, so when we talk about male fertility, we're looking at the sperm parameters. So there are a whole long list of sperm parameters in terms of, first of all, most commonly laypersons will think of just the numbers. In many cases, the numbers are not really as important as other parameters. So in each ejaculate, you may have upwards of 250 to 300 million sperm, but in terms of practical standpoint, if you have 80 million, 100 million sperm, although that's on the low side, that practically can get you to have a child naturally.
Mm.
But if you have issues with motility, which is the ability of the sperm to move up to the fallopian tubes and fertilize the egg, right, or the ovum, that's an issue. If you have issues with the morphology, there's an abnormal shape to the sperm, that's also an issue. In terms of other parameters, you look at liquefaction, if you look at the pH, that's might not be optimum. That's just looking at the environment of the sperm that allows the sperm to have the optimum ability to reach the ovum and fertilize it. That might be impaired. So there are many things that can cause those impairments. First of all, you never base or diagnose anything on one value. If you have one sperm analysis, you need to have that repeated in the next cycle of sperm, usually repeated 2 to 3 months later. Usually want to get 2 or 3 abnormal sperm analysis before you can actually use the term male infertility. And from textbooks to journals to personal experience to my training, just because you have an abnormal parameter in your sperm analysis doesn't mean you can't have children. There are millions of children in this world that were born to fathers who have some abnormal sperm parameter and they didn't even know, they were told they had and they still had children naturally.
So what causes that?
So there are many things. The number one cause of male infertility you have to look at are called varicoceles. That's a distension of your testicular vein. So arteries take blood away from the heart, veins take blood back to the heart. So when you have an incompetence of the veins, and this is the same scenario you have when you have varicose veins in your legs, when you have a distension of the veins, you have an incompetence of the valves. So the valves allow the blood to go up and do not come down with gravity. If you have an incompetence of the valves, basically you'll have a sludging, a slowing, a collection of the blood that causes a distension of the vein. And what that does is for the testicular vein, if there's a distension of the testicular vein called a varicocele, it can somewhat make the environment for sperm production suboptimal. So you're going to have decreased sperm production on that affected side. So most men, that's the number one cause for any abnormal sperm parameter or male infertility. You want to rule out a varicocele. So that's a minimally invasive procedure to correct that. We do that as an outpatient. So it might occur on one side, it might occur on the other side. That in itself, if we can catch it early enough, can actually, over a period of several months, after repair allow you to improve your sperm parameters and even go back to normal sperm production in terms of volume, morphology, motility, etc.
Okay, this person says, Juan, good day, Ash, the doc. A person at 65, what can they do to build testosterone and whatever in order to achieve an erection? So is there a natural way to do it, or is that more difficult than...
You want to have maintain a normal body mass index. You want to have exercise. You want to eat healthy. There's certain food products that have been touted to help with your testosterone. Really, when you look at governing bodies or your urological associations, they're not going to say, all right, this particular Brussels sprouts or asparagus or whatever is going to really necessarily improve your testosterone, particularly not to a level that it's going to improve your quality of life. So first of all, we need to treat the root cause. Let's say you can eat all the healthy food in the world. You can exercise all day, every day. But if you have obstructive sleep apnea causing the low testosterone, that in itself needs to be addressed first. So we need to try to figure out why you're having the low testosterone. There are precursor hormones that lead to testosterone production. It might be an issue with the production of those precursors, like follicular stimulating hormone, FSH, or luteinizing hormone. So every individual, we have to do a full workup, and it's not as simple as eating right, healthy living, or religious exercise. So it'll help, but we need to treat the root cause of it.
Says, please ask the doctor if soaking in warm water daily damages the testicles.
No. So you can exercise on your bike all you want. It's not going to damage your sperm production. If you like to go in hot in a sauna, or if you like to go in a jacuzzi, it's really not going to affect your testosterone or even your sperm production.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got a phone call. Put your headphones on right there. Let's take the phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, once again, Mr. McCartney. Just wanted to ask the doc a question as to how can I get an appointment to see him at the hospital?
Okay, so you just need a referral from the local clinic, and then there's a triaging system where we give appointments, obviously, to those who are
your department is called, what's the department?
Sir? Urology department. So,
all right,
so you just go to your general practitioner at local government clinic, whether on your Family Islands or New Providence, and they'll determine whether they can help you at their level. If not, they'll do the appropriate workup and then make an referral to the urology clinic at Princess Margaret Hospital,
and we'll
get to see you.
I did the prostate exam the other day and everything. He said everything looks normal, everything is okay. My count was very low. But he said he still wanted to refer me up there. I was wondering why am I still being referred if my count was still, you know, okay, very low.
Okay, so when we're talking about count, are we talking about the PSA, prostate-specific antigen blood test, or are we talking about testosterone level?
We were talking about the PSA, the blood test for the prostate.
Okay, yeah. So it's I'm just mindful for public consumption that even if your PSA is normal, or so-called normal. First of all, it's age-dependent. So there's a normal for one age group that cannot compare to another age group. But just looking at the value in isolation, you cannot determine whether someone statistically has prostate cancer or not. You can, about 15 to 20% of men have a perfectly normal prostate-specific antigen, PSA between 0 and 4, and still have prostate cancer. Just because you have a high PSA doesn't necessarily mean that you have prostate cancer. PSA, prostate-specific antigen blood test, is specific to the prostate gland. It's not specific to prostate cancer. So anything that can influence the gland, whether it's irritative, inflammatory, infective, or even having a large normal prostate, non-cancerous enlargement of the prostate, which you'll use the term BPH, benign prostate hyperplasia, which every man gets as he gets older, and a higher incidence the older that you are, that in itself, the non-cancerous enlarged prostate can contribute to your PSA. So normal size prostate is 12 to 20 grams. If one individual has 150 gram prostate and absolutely no cancer, their PSA is likely to be a lot higher than someone who has a prostate that's 20 grams. So that's why we left. Look at parameters like PSA density, the amount of PSA per gram of prostate. We look at PSA velocity, the change in PSA value over time. So you can have a great jump in your PSA from 1 year to the next, still be in the normal range, and that in itself might be a sign of prostate cancer. So every year get your PSA, and you got to compare 1 year with the next, and don't be fixated on the PSA value. Obviously, you want to have it in normal range. I've mentioned many times in a form such as this that if you're taking on a medication called Avodart, which is dutasteride or finasteride or Proscar, it's called a 5-alpha reductase inhibitor, it can half your PSA artificially. So if you want to do proper PSA screening, if you're on these medications more than 5 months, you may have a low PSA, but really you're fooling yourself because your PSA is double what the value you get.
All right, we got to go to a break, and we'll be back on the other side.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Travel less, but vacation more by indulging yourself and your family with the ultimate staycation getaway at Atlantis. Sleep in, relax, play, go out. Say yes to a fantastic staycation in your very own paradise just over the bridge. For reservations, call 363-6483 or visit Atlantis Local on Facebook for details.
There's only one way to have a better morning.
How?
Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Kraken Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Airport locations.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We're talking with urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto. You're asking me how to contact him. I will let you know that shortly. He says that you can, of course, go to your local clinic and get a referral to see him at the urology clinic at PMH, and he can help you from there. This says, a friend of mine had a low PSA test number, and a month later was diagnosed with stage 4 prostate cancer. So my question is, what sign or signs are there for you as an individual to look for to see if you have prostate cancer before it's too late?
So the main concern is that you don't wait for symptoms, because in the vast majority of cases, prostate cancer, when it's with confined to the organ itself, the prostate gland, when it's early, low volume, there are no symptoms whatsoever. Statistically speaking, as you get older, if you have increased urinary urgency, frequency, where you have a weak flow, stop and start stream, dribbling at the end, waking up a lot in the night to pee, running to the bathroom all day long, statistically speaking, that's going to be related to benign prostate hyperplasia. So a lot of men are afraid to even have that addressed because they're afraid that prostate cancer is causing them to wake up 5 times in the night, or for them to drive with a cup in their car because they can't even pull over to the side of the road to pee. So that's a misconception. There are more specific blood tests. So that's why I always speak about doing a PSA every year, comparing one value with the next, 15 to 20% of patients with a normal PSA are going to still have prostate cancer. If you have a high risk profile where you have a genetic predisposition, you might have a BRCA gene mutation number one or mutation number two. If you have a gene mutation number two, BRCA is brain cancer, breast cancer related gene mutation. Your chance of getting prostate cancer in your lifetime is 8 times greater.
Jeez.
If you have a gene two mutation. If you have a gene mutation number one, it's 5 times greater. So
not just women should be getting checked for the BRCA gene mutation.
Yeah, and not only that, that BRCA gene mutation can also lead to breast cancer in men. Mm-hmm. It can lead to skin cancer. It can lead to pancreatic cancer and other cancers as well. So if you have a strong family history of any cancer, you need to have some gene analysis to make sure that if you are high risk, we are very, very diligent and on top of it to make sure that even if you get prostate cancer, and if you pick up prostate cancer early, your cancer-specific survival is about 100% at 5 years, 98-99% at 10 years. So it's one of the easiest cancers to treat if we pick it up early. We can pick it up with so many treatment tools, investigative tools that we have now. We can even actively surveil you in many cases until the prostate cancer becomes clinically significant.
All right.
So there are very rare cases of prostate cancer that are the main type histologically or pathologically prostate cancer is adenocarcinoma, but there are some rare endocrine, and I'm talking about rare endocrine cases of prostate cancer that don't produce PSA. So you can have a cancer of your prostate and not have an elevation of your PSA at all, but that's very rare. As I mentioned, there are certain drugs such as dutasteride or finasteride that can have your PSA, which will give you artificial confidence that your PSA is okay and that you have no risk for prostate cancer. So if you are on these drugs for more than 5 months, you need to double your PSA.
Okay. This says, where do you get the sperm count test?
There are a lot of wonderful labs here who have a lot of great experiences. So you just need to get a request from a physician and you can get it done. The ideal is that you haven't ejaculated for 3 days before the test. So many studies have looked, was it 5 days, 20 days? So 20 days is not going to give you an accurate result. 1 day is not going to give you an accurate result. The disclaimer is that you don't look at one value in isolation. You can have issues related to certain medications that you were on. You might have had a viral illness that you just recovered from. All those can affect sperm production, and then you want to wait for a new cycle of sperm. So you always want to repeat it about 2 months to 3 months afterwards. And even then, only after 2 or 3 abnormal sperm analysis can you then say you have male infertility. But another disclaimer, just because you have some abnormal parameters doesn't necessarily mean you can't have a child. Even if, let's say, instead of having 300 million sperm per ejaculate, you have 10. 10 versus 300 million. Their medical technology has taken us to the point where male infertility really isn't an issue. Mm. It's how hospitable is the uterus. Are there any issues with the female? Does she have endometriosis? Does she have polyovarian cysts? Does she have issues related to her fibroids, like uterine fibroids, etc.? So if everything is perfect with the female, just because a male has next to no sperm, or even has no sperm, a lot of times you might have an obstructive sperm condition where the ducts are obstructed, we can actually extract sperm, and then you can send someone for in vitro fertilization. Let's say that the sperm have no motility. They don't move at all. You can do something called ICSI, cytoplasmic injections of the sperm directly into the embryos, fertilize them, and then when you do IVF, you always put in 2 fertilized ovum. Your chance of getting twins after years, in many cases of frustration, is about 50-50.
Wow.
So you can get two kids in one go.
It says, why do you have to pay for a doctor visit to go get a referral for a test that you pay for? This is one reason people don't like healthcare workers. I just want a sperm test. I should be able to walk into a lab and get one.
So there's this misconception that healthcare is expensive, particularly when we're talking about the primary care level. There's so much information out there, even on social media. There's NHI, there's a National Health System for Primary Care. and even extends to certain specialties like gynecology. So not to mention the fact you can go to any local clinic, but you can go to a private general practitioner or internist a certain number of times every year, get all the free workup in terms of imaging, in terms of blood tests and everything else, without any payment at all. It's for free. You just have to sign up. So that excuse that you don't have the money, that holds no water whatsoever. Absolutely. So that's a big misconception. So why would some layperson go and get a sperm analysis if it's not necessary? Let's figure out if it is actually necessary. Let's explain to you, for example, abstaining 3 days before. Let's make sure that certain medication that you may be on, which may artificially reduce some parameters, we temporarily take you off of, or let's say you have an infection, we need to treat you before we give you the sperm analysis. So there's a reason why you see a physician. That's a reason why I spent 16 years training. We see things, and this is my life, my career. I've seen it too many times to count. I got to read journals every single day. I have to go to symposiums. I have to go to conferences every year. So you stay on top of what is new.
A lot of people don't have an understanding of what exactly is covered by our government healthcare system. For instance, my mother was on a medicine before she died for years that cost $500 a month. And then when I went to a new doctor, when things started getting pretty bad for her, he said, you know, this is covered by NHI. Now you tell me, right?
A lot of chronic medications are, even as urologists, a lot of the medications we give for benign prostate hyperplasia management, diabetic medication, hypertensive medication, those for coronary artery disease, the vast majority of them are covered under NHI. So not taking your high blood pressure medication because you don't have money is no excuse at all. You can get it for free.
Okay, now this is one last question before we got to get out of here. This is, I'm 42 years of age. Is it too late to get a prostate test, or at what age should we get it done?
So this is actually, 42 is the perfect age. Maybe you can argue that 40 was a better age, but it's not too late. Let's start now. 42, every year from 42 until you go up to heaven, let's get a PSA test.
Okay, excellent. Well, Dr. Pinto, how do we contact you outside of a referral to a public clinic? How do we get in touch
with
you?
Well, yes, I mentioned I'm a consultant urologist at Princess Margaret Hospital. So even if you don't have insurance, you can get a referral to see me there. The easiest way to remember how to find me is I have a website, urologycarebahamas.com. But my main office is at Oak Tree Medical Center, which is Fifth Terrace in Mount Royal Avenue, base of Hawkinsville, used to be the old Christian bookstore. And the number there is 322-1145 or 6.
All right. Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr.
Thank you
Pinto.
Very much for having
it's
me.
It's always extremely informative, if not a little frightening, speaking with you about these issues. And we thank you for coming back. That's going to do it for the show today. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll talk current affairs, national issues, particularly as we head toward independence. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.